I was talking to a woman a few weeks ago, and she was telling me how she was raised Catholic, but then because of some of the priest abuse scandals, she's from Massachusetts, and she experienced some of those things up there, because of the priest abuse scandals, and also because of an incident where she was talking to a priest about her husband going through the annulment process, and it was going to be very expensive. This is back when they used to charge pretty big fees for that. Because of those two experiences, she decided to walk away from the church. She decided, I can't be Catholic anymore. I can't have anything to do with that. Today, there are many people who are in her same shoes, many people who have had some difficult experiences or heard bad things, and so they've chosen to stay away from the church because of this. However, what we are celebrating today, the resurrection of our Lord, is a beautiful response to this. It responds very well to this, and I'll share with you why. How does the resurrection respond to difficulties that people have with the Catholic Church? This is a great day, a great response to this. So I want to share about that with you today. With her, with you, and with anybody. If you have struggles or difficulties with the church, with the institution of the church, this is a great day to reflect on this in light of the resurrection. So what does that mean exactly? Well, consider that prior to our Lord's bodily resurrection from the dead, what he did was he founded an institution. He founded an organization, what we call the church, in order to spread his message, in order to continue his work, in order to proclaim the message of the gospel, the good news of his death and resurrection. Yet from the very beginning of its foundation, this institution that he founded appeared, looked like, seemed to be a failure. So when our Lord was putting this organization together, right, so he first established Peter as the leader of the apostles. He told him that he was the rock on which he'd built his church, that he was going to be the church's first pastor. He's going to provide oversight for everybody. The first father of the church, the first papa, what we call today as Catholics, the Pope. Okay, so he put him in charge. And then the other apostles, he also gave them authority to lead as well. Together with Peter, they would serve as the church's first bishops. So this is our Lord was organizing the church, putting it into a place, establishing it, even prior to his death and resurrection. Yet even from its very beginning, there were issues, there were problems that might make you want to turn away, perhaps. So we have the abuse of power. I think about like James and John, who were vying for certain positions within this kingdom that our Lord was setting in place. You remember that story? And then there was also the story when they were angry at that particular city, and so they wanted to call down fire on that city and destroy it. And Jesus, of course, was like, whoa, whoa, we're not going to do that. But there was this attempt at this abuse of power. But that wasn't all. There was others, too, amongst the group within this institution. The church's first accountant was embezzling funds. So this was Judas. His job was to take care of the money bag. This money was to provide for Jesus and for the disciples, for the apostles, and also to give to the poor. Yet Judas was, taking funds fraudulently for himself. We read about this. So this is what's going on, embezzlement, right, from the very beginning of this institution. Not a great way to start an institution, perhaps. And then there was also the one who was supposed to be the first pastor, especially after Christ ascends up into heaven. Peter was to lead the church. And here he was getting into, you could say, Satanism, perhaps, if you can't think of a worse possible thing for the leader of the institution to get into. So here's our Lord, who has just placed Peter as the rock, the head of the church, this first pastor. And then the Lord is accusing him of doing Satan's work. He says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." So this is the church. This is the institution of the church right from the very beginning, seemingly full of problems and issues. And then our Lord, offers his life. He dies. And on the third day, he rises again. When he rises again, what does he do? Where does he go? Who does he go to see? You know, he didn't have to go back to that institution that he founded. He could have been like, you know, you guys all left me at my greatest moment of need. You denied me. You betrayed me. When I was being arrested, you fled, every single last one of you. Forget you guys. I'm starting over. I'm going to get some better people, better folks to found my kingdom, to found this the institution of the church. He could have said that. But he didn't, did he? He went back to those same failures of a church, of an institution. Why did he do that? Why would he go back to them? It's because of what we are celebrating here today. We are celebrating the resurrection of Christ. We are celebrating the resurrected body of Christ when he physically rose. And that resurrection power did not only cause the physical body of Christ to rise from the dead. That resurrection power is at work in the larger body of Christ, this institution that he founded, the church. It would continue to be at work. That's why we are sitting here today. If it wasn't for that resurrection power, we wouldn't know about the resurrection. We wouldn't know about this gospel if it wasn't for that institution that our Lord founded. And so when things, time and time again throughout history, when it seemed like everything was going to fail, that resurrection power brought things back together. In the third century, for example, there was lots of disagreements and arguments about what books should be in the Bible. And through the institution of the church, those books were declared, firmed up for all believers to follow. In the sixth century, following the fall of civilization, really, the fall of the Roman Empire, when the world, the civilized world, was plunged into what is called today the Dark Ages, when everything was crumbling and falling apart, it would be the church in that, with that resurrection power that would bring new life to our world. Civilization would be rebuilt, culture would be formed, learning would come out of the church, out of the monasteries and the universities that the church would build. This is this resurrection power that was at work, continuing on through the church. And on up into the 1500s, this is a time of great corruption and greed and negligence that was taking place in the church. It seemed that this institution had failed again. So much so that, you know, many Christians began to leave and form other groups during this time. We know this as the Protestant Reformation. And even then, that resurrection power was at work within the church. Doctrines would be clarified. There was a council called the Council of Trent that took place. Training requirements were put into place for clergy. The liturgy was renewed. Financial abuses were eradicated. New missionary movements began to blossom, you know, all over the world, including here in the Americas. While some people are leaving the church over in Europe, millions more would be coming into the church. 9 million, to be exact, would come into the church in response to the apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe here in the Americas. This is this resurrection power that continues to be at work within the body of Christ, all up and down through the ages. That is why our Lord, after his resurrection, went back to those people. It's because he wasn't dependent on those people. He wasn't dependent on their bright ideas or their competency or their lack of competency. No, the church is empowered, imbued with Christ himself, that same resurrection power through which Christ rose from the dead bodily, physically, is at work in a powerful way in his church. This is what it's based on. This is the heart of what the body of Christ is all about. So if you're struggling with the church, with the institution of the church, have some difficulties, consider this. Consider that no matter what human beings perhaps do to the body of Christ, no matter how bad it might look, that the resurrection power is at work. The story does not end on Good Friday. On Friday, we see the ugliness of what was done to the body of Christ as he hung there on the cross. Today, at times, we see the ugliness of what's being done by some to the body of Christ. Yet that is not the end. Christ rose from the dead, and his resurrection power, this resurrection power, is still at work today in his church. And for that, we rejoice. Amen.